Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, June 18, 2021. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Gutierrez, 2021, and having a ton of fun. Oh, look, there's the sun. Sorry, guys, got to run. Boy, I'd like to leave right now, I'll be honest with you.
Really?
Love it, yeah.
You want to spend the next 4 hours with the two of us, your best friends? I know you didn't ever call us your best friends, but, you know.
I'm thinking.
Think hard.
I'm binge-watching a show that I've had on the back burner for several years. And
well, you need a break.
No.
You need a break. Wait, whoa. What show?
I'm not getting into it because then somebody will ruin something and, you know. I don't tell people I'm watching something until I'm in the final season of watching it. It's not what you think. It's not something you've wanted me to watch.
It's not Breaking Bad?
No. It's something...
Wire?
Who says I haven't watched Breaking Bad, though? There's been a lot of things that have been watched in
well,
the...
Well, you would have told me, and you would have brought up several different things
maybe.
In that show. You would have.
I'm watching something else. I'm just wrapped up in it.
It's not something that something I've watched?
Maybe.
You're being real mysterious.
Yeah, I'm just telling you. I'm binge-watching something. That's a private affair for me. Something that Susan and I enjoy. And
nothing is private on this
like,
show.
Like, I didn't tell you about Peaky Blinders until I was just about done because I don't want nobody to ruin nothing. And now you won't watch that, even though Tom Hardy put so much into his role. And you don't care.
Well, now
and
so, I'm guess doing what? It just to piss you
I don't
off.
Know. Tom Hardy. You're robbing yourself. Is he your favorite actor?
Yes.
It's one of his best roles, and you're stealing from yourself. You're robbing yourself. You're doing it to yourself. Self-inflicted wounds.
Well, I'm good at those.
Tom Hardy.
I'm really good.
Hi, Nate, how are you?
Hey.
Now I want to stay here for a while. I'll stay at like 8 or something.
Yeah. 8?
You'll see Grunty if you stay till 9.
Stan Weber, I'll see him first. He'll be here at...
6:30.
Don't try to trick me.
And he's not on the phone, he's in studio.
Stan Weber will be in studio at 6:30, not on the phone.
Nope.
At 7. Well, he could be on the phone at 7 if somebody calls him.
Yeah, maybe somebody important.
Gary Lee's act just before 8 o'clock. Then we're going to talk to Dennis Leonard.
Oh, boy.
So how long was that in the works? How many back and forths did you have with Dennis Leonard?
Just a couple. We were talking about Mr. Leonard a couple weeks ago, and I said, you know what? Be good time to have him on with everything that's going on in the MLB.
Ask him about foreign substances.
Be a good guy to talk about it. I feel like he didn't need any.
My dad loved Dennis Leonard. No, but I'm sure he has an opinion on it.
Oh, I promise you he does.
Tim Grunhardt at 9:05. He knows a lot about foreign substances.
Whoa.
You think he ever did anything to the football for DeBerg or...
Sandpaper him up.
Joe Montana or...
Stick him on there.
Steve Bono or Elvis Grbackup or...
No.
Rich Gannon or...
Oh, he was handling all their balls.
Ron Jaworski or...
Dave Craig
or...
Little Hands.
Steve Palour or Mark Vlasic or... Who else am I missing? Mike Elkins. Or Matt Blunden or... I go on, whatever. Tell me when you want me to stop and I will.
Self-inflicting wounds. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
Oh. That was a mouthful of quarterbacks I just rattled off, huh?
Mark Vlasic.
The pickle man.
The pickle.
Thought he was going to be good.
We're doubly excited, not doubly frustrated, because Friday, June 18th means I do 1, 2, 3 more shows and then I'm off for a week and a half. That's why you're all fired up, right? I know I am. I'm not counting the days, but 1, 2, 3 work days, and then Thursday's the 18 golf tournament, and that's a half day for me.
I'll
be on like 7:30 or 8, but then I'm going to be at the golf tournament hosting a fireside chat with Mike Boddicker, so why don't you listen to that? And we'll say things off the air we can't say on the air, and I'll get Mike to cuss a lot, and it'll be great for all the people out there at the 18 golf tournament. And then, boy... I'm so glad that Amazon Prime did this for me, the Amazon Video, whatever. They worked it out, Jake. Because you know my favorite show will always be The Sopranos, and then it'll be and then like Ray Donovan, but there's a new entry that I love so much. And I was reminded that the seventh season will start streaming on June 25th, my first official day of vacation.
The Billions finally starting back up?
Mm-mm. Oh. See, it's a show you don't watch that I want you to watch.
Oh. Well, I probably won't watch it then.
Bosch.
Oh.
Man, do I love Bosch. Dads out there, most dads like Bosch. My dad likes Bosch.
When's Billions?
Connor's dad likes Bosch. Never.
We got ripped.
That'll never happen.
We got ripped in the middle of this stupid pandemic. They showed us half of Billions and then just...
Well, you gotta wait.
Stupid.
Royals didn't play yesterday, but the Royals didn't lose yesterday. Right, so you look at it the right way.
How about them Royals?
How about them?
Did not lose.
Now they're going to play the Red Sox. Uh-oh. So that doesn't seem promising on paper, but...
Uh-oh. Well, you know, it didn't help to play a bad team, so maybe it'll be good to play a good team.
Say that they're screwed now, Nate. To say, oh, they're screwed.
We got no shot.
Yeah, there we go. That's right. What we needed.
Here we go. You're welcome, Royals.
But what if the Royals are the bad team?
Eh.
You don't think so?
Well, I mean, right now they certainly don't seem like a good team.
There's the most, probably the streakiest team I've ever seen in my life. I mean, really?
Just when you're ready to anoint them a playoff contender, they'll lose 11 in a row. Just when you think, oh, this team's
back
terrible, they're done, then they go on a hot streak and they make you feel good.
Yeah.
Just when you think that, okay, maybe that 11-game losing streak was just some bad luck and other things combined forces to send the Royals into a tailspin. But besides that, I heard some people saying, well, you know, take the – back when, like, remember when Dick Vermeil used to try to explain away the bad defense?
Yeah.
Well, if you just take away the two 80-yard runs.
Right.
They only ran for 65 yards.
We held them in check pretty well.
Those two big plays.
If you take away the 72-yard pass completion and then the 54-yard touchdown, if you take those away, passing game didn't really hurt us in the second half. See? And we'd like, well, you know.
As he'd sit there and...
And I would listen to people. Well, you know, if you just take away the 11-game losing streak, they've been okay. Well, that's a tough ask to take away the 11-game losing streak because it happened right in the season. So I don't usually think that way. But you could talk yourself into that for a while after the 11-game losing streak. They started to play better. Well, if you just take away the 11-game losing streak, all right. They'd be right there for a playoff spot. Then they lose. What have they lost now? Is it 10 of 11? 11 to 12?
I think that's what it is.
What's, 11 to 12 sounds, I mean, that's bad, right?
Yeah,
it's not an
11-game
losing streak, but it's 11 out of 12. So now they're right back to... threatening to enter the basement, the dungeon, whatever you want to call it. And they have a losing record against the Tigers, so we can't sit here and say, well, they get to play the Tigers a bunch more. That's not automatically a good thing anymore. We thought it would be. Nate thought it would be. He was very boastful and very arrogant about it and looked down at the Detroit Tigers. Now the Tigers, you know, you put your hand out there and you got bit. You still got your fingers?
They bit my arm clean off.
Right. So...
I think we're overstating my disrespect for the Tigers a little bit. All I said was, hey, well, at least the Tigers are coming to town.
The remedy.
That's all I said.
You said AAA. You said
a Major League Baseball team this week.
Right.
Stupid Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even the last place team, are they?
No. They've actually
played well the last month, if you look at it.
Five of the last
solid.
Five.
They were worse than the Royals before this series.
I don't know about now.
Yeah,
all right, Royals, Red Sox. Kowar was going to start, but they warmed him up in the ninth inning of the last games. I don't know. Whatever you want to tell me. I'll just be optimistic, and we're not going to harp on that too much today. Because we don't have to talk about a loss. We got a bunch of Chiefs sound from Andy Reid and Tyrann Mathieu and Patrick Mahomes, in case you missed that yesterday. So we can talk about that. And we can talk about, we have at least one Game 7 that we will enjoy. Well, I know I will enjoy it. I'm looking forward to it. I cannot wait. We'll have at least one beautiful Game 7, and that's going to be Saturday night at 7:30 between the Bucks and the Nets. So now do you feel better, at least that the Nets look vulnerable?
Yeah.
Like you were afraid they were just going to run through the East and there was no resistance and no one could match up with them? The Bucks have taken them to the wire, and I've seen many people. I saw a few people. There was an article at ESPN.com before the series started suggesting that, okay, this really, in many people's opinions, is the NBA Finals. Whoever wins this game is going to go on to win the championship. Now, I still think the Suns have a shot. I don't think Utah. I don't know if Utah can win this series. I don't know. I'm still not sold because also they're, Donovan Mitchell and his ankle and Mike Conley and his hamstring, and they're both questionable for game six. By the way, you got to play. Right? They got to play. It's game six. Lose and go home.
We saw with Anthony Davis. He tried to give it
right,
a go.
They got to try.
Yeah.
Even Mitchell and that great shot he made down the stretch in the last game, you could tell his ankle was bothering him a lot. And Conley, I don't think he hadn't even played in this series. So, but this is it. You're the number one seed. The season's on the line. You got to win, or you go home. But I think the Clippers, it depends on Kawhi. If Kawhi comes back, I could see them winning the title. But then without Kawhi, I don't think
it's hard to pick. I didn't think they would win that last game without him, but they did. But you're right. I don't see them as a title team without him.
But then I say, oh, for sure, then the Suns will beat whoever wins that series. But then is Chris Paul playing? Then answer that question for me. And so will Chris Paul be back by the finals when they make it? So then Chris Paul with the Suns, and if he does come back, if he misses a game or two and they're still able to get through it, does that maybe help get him healed up a little bit and get him ready? I mean, there's so many variables in the West, I don't know what to tell you. But with all that now to factor in, and I even saw some people tweeting out last night, Saturday night, Game 7, NBA Finals, Bucks and Nets. It's funny. It's not really the finals, but that's what they're, you get it, Jake. Do you believe that?
I'm not going to rule out the teams from the West yet.
Because I don't think the 76ers or the Hawks will beat the winner of the Bucks-Nets.
I thought the Sixers could give the Nets a series.
Nursing off the teat of Joel Embiid.
Well, he's not instilling a lot of confidence in me with his fourth quarter performances here lately. So, and
what do you mean, the free throws or what?
Just the whole thing, yeah. Right. He's just not making baskets. And
I'd feel very strongly about the Nets or Bucks winning the conference finals.
And when one of your best players cannot shoot a basketball.
When your point guard doesn't want to handle the ball in the fourth quarter.
Right. That's a problem.
Will the winner of the Bucks and Nets win the NBA championship? Do you believe that, yes or no?
I don't feel as without Kyrie, I don't feel as confident. I mean, I think probably.
I'd say they're favorite too, but yeah. I think
like when Kyrie was healthy,
a challenger from the West.
When Kyrie was healthy, I thought the Nets are going to steamroll through this thing.
I think if the Bucks can get past the Nets, I mean that might be the moment for Giannis and the Bucks for that team. Like okay,
Giannis,
past the boogeyman now, and everyone. How bad was he crushed on Twitter, on social media after game five? How does he respond? I saw some NBA guys with, Giannis read all your tweets the other night. And he looked like it, right? Like, how were they going to respond?
Yeah.
They showed what you wanted to see. So I can't wait for game seven. It's going to be tremendous.
100%.
I'm wrapped up in this series. Jake, you're laughing. You don't like this series?
No, I think it's great. I just feel like the Bucks are just I feel bad because I feel like they're going to go into Brooklyn and get their butts kicked, and it's just going to be the same.
So it's just going to be like a blowout? You don't think?
I don't see them.
Or are they going to lose in heartbreaking fashion?
I think it's going to be a good game, but I think they're like.
You have no confidence the Bucks are going to win?
No, I think they're going to be left at the altar again.
But if they do, that would be.
Right.
That would be getting over the hump, right? And then you feel like, okay, everyone thought the Nets, people like Nate, oh, this is stupid. The Nets are a super team. No one can compete with them. And if the Bucks beat them, I don't care if. Kyrie's hurt.
Everyone has injuries.
If they beat them, that'd be...
What I saw at Harden last night...
Pretty powerful for their confidence.
Hell yeah. I mean, it's just being down 3-2 and having Kevin Durant put up one of the greatest performances in NBA playoff history.
And overcoming that.
And overcoming that, for sure. I don't think the Bucks. This is my feeling is...
What's your
feeling? I don't see the Bucks getting blown out in this game.
Tell them then.
I can see them losing this game, but Dude, James Harden's not right.
He don't see them getting blown out Saturday.
He looked better than he did in Game 5, though.
Well, sure he did, but he scored six. He only took 9 shots.
But I feel like he was just kind of riding in low gear, and I think he's got 2 more days to get healthy for Saturday.
Yeah.
And
he's healthy.
Well, I don't think he's going to be healthy, but I think he might be able to be, instead of being 70% like he was in Game 5, he might be 85%.
Do you guys like Reggie Miller, by the way?
I do. I like him a lot.
You like his analysis?
Yes.
I think he's good.
Okay, so did you see what he tweeted before this game, the day that I think it was yesterday morning, when he tweeted in between Game 5 and Game 6? And, I mean, he got crushed for it. But then, late last night, people then responded, maybe Reggie Miller wasn't so crazy after all. So this is what he tweeted between Game 5 and Game 6 of the series. I'm just going to throw this out there to see what the response will be. If you're Steve Nash and the Nets, would you sit James Harden and Kevin Durant in Game 6 because of the heavy minutes tonight and push all your chips to the center of table for Game 7? That's what he tweeted after the Game 5, basically saying, probably ain't going to win Game 6. You know, Kevin Durant had the heavy minutes.
Yeah.
James Harden didn't look good. Now, the Nets would never do that. They were never going to sit Durant, right, you know, not being hurt or whatever. But Reggie Miller tweeted that, and go read his mentions, and people were just attacking him. What the hell is wrong with you? Why would they ever do that? So then, last night, maybe Reggie Miller was onto something. Not for at least for the James Harden part of the equation.
I'll be honest, I was surprised that they both were in the game as late as they were. And
Jake?
I know they showed they can come back in games, but they were down by a lot in the fourth quarter, and they were still in.
Do you think Reggie Miller was stupid or stupid crazy?
No, he wasn't stupid. I'm not saying I totally disagree with his thinking, but like you said, that they would never. They would
you'd
never
be inviting such bad mojo on
right,
yourself doing that.
And that's...
You know?
If you're
tempting
Steve
the
Nash,
fates way too much.
That's a fireable offense if it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Like you're gone. Like if you go to Game 7, you lose Game 7, you're done.
Yeah. Just for the record, when you got a team on the brink of elimination, you don't take anything for granted. You got to do whatever you can to try to get them out.
And the Bucks are a different team at home. They just are. I mean, especially Middleton.
But you saw with the way the Bucks played Game 5, there's no guarantee. I mean, they've shown they can go into Brooklyn in a huge game and
absolutely
they don't fall apart.
That atmosphere is going to be incredible. Well,
they don't fall apart until the final minute.
Like I think it can be a close game if Giannis did what he did last night, and that's be a bully. Get how many points do you have in the paint? I mean, he was a different player.
Well, there you see what he did last night.
Three.
He did it
right. No,
so we know he can do it
right. But does he get caught up and try to outshoot Kevin Durant and get that he's capable of doing that? He is a guy who loses control and takes outside shots when he shouldn't be taking outside.
Well, I'm
shots.
Very excited to watch the game.
It's going
to
be great. I'm pumped. We got something to watch Saturday night. But I still, I think it'll be a good game.
And you're rooting
for
the Nets, aren't you?
I'm rooting for the Nets.
And you're rooting for the Bucks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm rooting for the Bucks.
I have a heartbreaking feeling for the Bucks.
If you ask me what I think is going to happen, this is what I think is going to happen. I think the Bucks are going to get out to a healthy lead, and they're going to be in at halftime with some kind of lead.
Yeah.
And maybe even into the third quarter. And it's not going to be like a 76ers type of collapse, you know? But then they'll start, maybe they have a
8-point lead or something,
and then Durant starts to go crazy, and then it gets to be under 5 minutes in a close game, and it comes down to something where, I mean, I don't know, Durant hits a crazy shot, and Giannis tries to answer with a three and misses, or misses some free throws, or something awful happens to the Bucks, and then the Nets win.
Yeah.
And the Bucks, because that's way worse to me than getting blown out. You get blown out and you're never in it. Like, you know what?
Yeah,
screw it. They don't even deserve to be here.
Right.
But if they leave the whole game and then something funky happens and they miss a couple shots down the stretch or have something bad happen in the final couple minutes, that's terrible.
Full alignment with something like that.
Right.
That's why I grin. I'm like,
kind of like Game 5.
Yes.
Like, you know. Giannis misses a couple of free throws, and then
bad
Middleton makes
again.
That great pass, and he has it, and he just fumbles it away.
Right.
And Durant hit that wild three. That's imagine that in a Game 7.
Yeah.
That'll be like, kick, kick, kick. Groin, 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 kick. Right?
Yeah.
And you're thinking about that. How did Durant hit that shot? Why did Giannis drop that pass? Oh, he missed the free throw. But guess what? What kind of drama will that be in a Game 7?
Fantastic.
On Saturday night? Let's go. Not literally to the game. Let's go.
Oh,
excitement.
I wish I could go
right, that'd be great, wouldn't it? There you go, Kansas City.
I wonder how much tickets going to be to that.
Pretty cheap. Nothing, not much. Why don't you call tickets for less?
Small city.
Whatever it is, they can get the tickets.
There's money in Brooklyn now these days, too.
Look it up. Okay, we'll look it up in the commercial break. Guess right now between the two of you.
What kind of tickets are we talking about?
Lower
just
level.
To get in the door?
Some lower level, best lower level tickets he can, best price he can get a low level.
1,200.
What do you say?
1,200 for just the cheapest lower level seat?
The cheapest lower level seat. No, the best price he can get a lower level seat.
Oh,
cheapest lower level seat.
I bet you get lower level for 450.
Really?
I'm going to say 700.
450?
Yeah, I bet you can get something in the back.
Game 7? I'm saying 700.
I'd think about that for a minute if I was like in Milwaukee. Yeah.
He says 700. I say four and a half.
We're not doing you low.
No, close.
We're not going over. Lower. Doesn't matter,
closest,
right?
Closest
right.
to the number. No Price is Right.
800.
All right.
I don't know.
Nate, get on it.
All right, I'll get on SeatGeek.
And if Nate wins, he has to buy two tickets to the game.
Tickets deal.
If just Nate to prove
wins,
a point.
That's a great
back
idea.
After this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We have Stan Weber with us. Hello, Stan. How are you?
I'm doing great.
So listen to this, Stan. And this is, I wanted to talk about this, and I thought you'd like this too because, you know, you always talk about how powerful football is, and football is, it's football. It's football is what it is. And so I laughed out loud last night, laying in bed, reading this thread on Twitter. I laughed out loud. I want this made into a movie now. And so, and I shared it with people, and other people were really getting a kick out of it. So I thought I'd talk about it on the show. And so I always think it's interesting to hear when fantasy football leagues get creative, not only with what the prize is, but what the last place team has to do, what happens to the last place team.
I've heard about these.
And so there's a guy named Lee Sanderlin who writes for a newspaper, so he is a writer. But he started a tweet thread yesterday, and so and I think Jake, you'd really appreciate this because we've talked about our love of going to Waffle House at all hours of the day.
Yeah,
you know, it's
absolutely.
Very delicious, and then you pay for it. And so this is what he tweeted: "I'm coming to you live from a Brandon, Mississippi Waffle House. I, a total loser, came in last place in my fantasy football league. As punishment, I spend 24 hours in a Waffle House. But every waffle I eat shaves an hour off the clock. It's 4:07 Central." And so there it starts, and he shows this picture of this Waffle House he's in. So he's got to stay in the Waffle House for 24 hours, but every
minus
complete,
the pancakes.
Every
so
complete
if he's
waffle
four
waffles, that he has. Right.
20 hours.
Right, that's right. So this captured the imagination of Twitter, and I'm loving this. And so he's giving you updates throughout the day, and it was hilarious. And I haven't even checked this morning, like, how things ended up. He's still there. And so he said, "I got some books, some magazines, some podcasts, and two waffles to start." Two down. That means 2 hours down. 21 and a half hours left, roughly. Already my stomach is rumbling. Going to be a long one. The staff does not believe me that I'll be here that long. Little do they know. And so then he shows a picture. 1 hour and 10 minutes into it, two more waffles, and one human who is dead on the inside. So there's a look at that. There's like a glassy-eyed look on his face. He's got the another waffle. And look, I don't know how if you've gone to a Waffle House or if you enjoyed Waffle House, but a Waffle House waffle, it's delicious, right?
But
when it hits home. Then you're thinking, like I went there a couple of weeks ago and had a waffle and some eggs and stuff, and then I'm thinking, well, I need to lay down before I even drive. I can't imagine, like, putting down 4 or 5 waffles in an hour with this. I mean, he's putting syrup and butter and everything else. So then, 4 waffles down, been here for 1.5 hours, so that means I have 18 and a half hours to go. I am already in immense discomfort. Please, somebody, launch me into the sun. And so he goes on and on, and so throughout the whole night, football, fantasy football. And the best part is, he was the one that came up with the idea for this punishment for the last place team, because he was sure he wouldn't finish in last place. Would you get in some type of league where you knew the punishment, if you finished in last, would involve you spending 24 straight hours in a Waffle House minus the waffles that you ate?
Yeah, I think that's a great loser prize. no one gets hurt by anything, and but he should just study his fantasy football stuff.
Right.
Like Jake, use that 20 or 18 hours, whatever he spends there. No, that's pretty cute. I don't like when they say, well, you have to put a tattoo on somebody or something. I've heard about those, and you know that's permanent in someone's life forever. But this kind of stuff is fun, and it would make fantasy football a lot more fun. I don't play fantasy football, but that sounds really neat.
Jake,
I just wonder what the restroom situation is.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Is the Waffle House one where you walk in and there's three people that can...
No, nah, it's you walk in, you got to lock it.
You got to lock it.
Single occupancy is the ones that I've experienced.
That is
right.
Where the challenge is.
One man jack is what
that's
we
right.
call it.
Is that what it
so
is?
So he's standing in line in pain, and Nate Bucati's in there ahead of him.
Right. That could be a problem. That's exactly right. He says, y'all, they're going down like cement now, and the heart is beating real heavy like. I'm the only non-employee in here. Got half a waffle, six left, and so many hours. So, and then he talked about how the new cook came in and told him about how one time he got shot in the chest and how much he loves eating a Waffle House. He was just telling all these stories about
wow.
everyone. Yeah, I mean,
see,
it was...
Like, but the waffles aren't that... I mean, they're not huge. Like, so I don't feel like it'd be... I don't know.
Dude, I feel like old school Jake would have just eaten 24 waffles.
See, but all these people keep saying
like, yeah,
that, but
I would have been out of there like in 2 hours.
I ate one of them, and that just, I don't know, maybe this is what it is.
They seem like they're real, like they're pretty thin.
I don't know, man. You start to get to 4 or 5
I mean,
or something.
Big, yeah. I mean, they're.
Yeah, I think that's the type of thing where it sounds like, oh, I could eat a bunch of those waffles, and after 3 or 4 of them, you're like,
because
oh,
there are people saying that, and he's answering back like, you don't understand. This is. I mean, you don't.
Then you make the mistake of saying, well, I want to eat a little sausage with it.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
To make it taste better.
It's one of those things, you don't do it until you do it. So, no, you know, hey, the time I ate 10 waffles, I just imagine that could be.
Yeah.
That could be awful. Because 2 weeks ago, I ate a Waffle House waffle, and I'm being honest with you, I felt like I shouldn't drive.
I saw those hash browns you ate.
Oh, and guess what? I had a bunch of hash browns with every possible mix in that they offer.
Yeah,
you know, and so I get that, but yeah, I don't. It was very funny. So you should watch.
Like the fantasy football leagues. The one I've been in the longest is a bunch of old college buddies we've been doing since we were in college. And we never do anything that creative, you know? I hear about buddies, you know, guys that do fantasy leagues that come up with some kind of creative trophy situation or creative punishment. And I'm always kind of a little envious because that sounds like a lot of fun, but we've just never, you know, we've never come up with something that good.
How many people are playing? Because that really matters statistically how close you are to last place.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah, like, yeah, if you have 10 people in your league versus 12.
See, and I'm not really a sweet guy, but see, like, I get a bucket of hash browns and laugh at you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I go to Waffle House
I don't think I've ever had more than one waffle in any setting in my life. Maybe, like, Eggo waffles, like the Legos.
Oh, yeah.
I've had a big waffle. That's
I would eat waffles. My mom would make breakfast for dinner. I'd do it nonstop.
No, little Jake loves those big waffles.
We have a waffle iron at our house. I was given a waffle iron for Christmas. I make homemade waffles for the kids all the time, but it's like I eat one waffle. And I never have, like, two of them.
Mike Boddicker just called, and he's driving up to Iowa. So he's on the lookout for a waffle house.
You got to stop.
It's making me kind of hungry for a waffle.
He's like, I need some waffle house.
They have scattered, like, every possible way you could get the hash browns.
This is his favorite segment of the week. He loves listening to you, Stan.
Okay, so you got the waffle maker for the show.
Yeah.
Go home this week, eat like 10 waffles, and then tell
I'll
us how you
know.
Feel.
Let's see if that would have bothered you. Big Belgian waffles, too, the ones that aren't. My waffle maker makes big, thick ones. But
and tweet out how you feel after each one. Like half hour after each one, saying, I feel great after one.
Yeah.
The biggest takeaway there is you don't play fantasy football. You've never
got
wanted
his own,
to play.
He's got his own.
I know that, but just to add to, you've never wanted to for the NFL. Just say you're like, hey, I got
to show you this.
I got
Dan.
I got Dak Prescott. Look at that.
The thing that I don't like is rooting for the wrong teams and things like that. Does not mix well in my head. I don't like mixed messages.
Oh, okay, I get it. I understand.
You know, I need to win this game, but that guy is playing on a team that I dislike the most, and I don't want. I want for the Chiefs' purposes, they've got to lose. I do not want to be rooting for that wide receiver. That does not.
Okay, you don't
want the
purity.
What's
corrupted.
The best for the Chiefs?
Yeah.
What's the best for the Cowboys? Period. I'm into the real game.
Yeah, it's like you're playing a game, and it's like, oh, Julio Jones scored against the Chiefs, but I got Julio Jones in my league. At least that's good. Yeah,
I enjoy because my two sons growing up played the whole time. So I fully enjoyed, hey, how's your team doing? What's going on? I'm watching a lot of games, you know, point over there. Hey, I think you're going to like this. Or down to the 20-yard line. You got a couple guys on that team that might score. that was fine for me, but I could not imagine spending 1 ounce of love or energy rooting for something that doesn't go well for the final standings and the playoffs and things like that.
Those are the only times in the fall when my son Phil speaks to me when he asks me for advice about who he should start.
I think it's great. I think betting on games, I think fantasy football, all those things, if that's something that brings another fan closer,
right there,
then I am all in.
That brings Jake as close as possible. When I have you guys over
and we're all sitting around watching games, I don't care if you're watching it for fantasy football purposes or otherwise, I'm saying this is great Americana right here.
He wants to live
sitting there watching the NFL, right. Man.
Stan,
on
I'll show you things that you've never seen before, buddy.
Whoa.
Stan is taken aback right now. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, Stan, Chiefs had mandatory minicamp this week. Let's talk about some of the things that Andy Reid talked about yesterday. Of course, one of the big stories that everyone's been talking about the past couple of weeks is Chris Jones playing more defensive end, the addition of Jaron Reed, and the need for another defensive end obviously necessitated this move. But Andy Reid was asked what his philosophy is on moving a guy from a spot where he has been successful in the past.
The one thing it does, it gives us flexibility. I mentioned that Jaron Reed was, hasn't been talked about much, but I look at him as kind of a key cog to that, that ability to move Chris around, and so he's been a heck of a football player in this league, and he's an interior player, so it gives us some flexibility with Chris to move him in or out. And I know he likes getting out there to rush the passer. He's looked pretty good doing it here in shorts, so we'll see how it works out with pads on.
I think when we look back at the Reed signing, as long as he stays healthy, that'll end up being one of the best signings, one of the most underrated signings for anyone of the offseason. I think he's going to be really good, and I think now with Frank Clark and Derek Nnadi and Reed and Chris Jones and the depth they have with Wharton, they love him. They think he's going to take a step forward. Taco Charlton doesn't have to be relied upon as much. Mike Dana, Josh Kando. I think that what they have now, I think, will be better at rushing the passer, getting the quarterback, than what they had last year.
There's a chance. Chris Jones started out really as a defensive end. He has the body of a defensive end, if you consider him out there. So he may have some success. But it is giving up something when you have a guy who is that powerful and can get to the quarterback that quick. Guys like Tom Brady and the elite of the elite don't like the pressure right up the middle, at their feet, in their face to knock the ball down. And so you're going to lose something with Chris Jones moving outside if he stays out there. Now, if you do a TE twist and you get into those games, it really is elite for him to start as a defensive end and then swing around and end up coming back inside where he feels so comfortable. So having the flexibility to say Chris Jones can be played at a lot of different positions, I'm fine with that. But I think you've always got to be careful about taking your guys. When you say the old Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, those kind of things, when you got a great Scottie Pippen, someone that does something very well at an elite level, be careful of thinking that they can go play different roles and advance in their life. And that's going to be the question about Chris Jones. Are you better just saying, let's have a dominant defensive tackle creating havoc up the middle and find another answer on the outside? Or is he going to be okay adapting out there and using his length and speed and maybe becoming a great defensive end and a guy who can play two positions and give the team flexibility? Because the way the NFL is moving, you're bringing more and more fast guys on the field, more linebackers, more safeties, and you can play football with three down linemen in a lot of situations. I mean, if it's second and seven or longer, it's like a passing down in the National Football League. More than 50% of the time, teams are throwing. So you can go out there and say, we may give up something against the run, but let's put three down linemen, have an extra linebacker in the game, have an extra safety, and do those kind of things. And then Chris Jones becomes very valuable because he can really play the inside. And then also, I think he should be successful out there, but there's no guarantee. I'm a little nervous about losing his push up the middle that's unique. There's not many teams in the NFL other than Aaron Donald with the Rams that create that push right up the middle.
I was just thinking when you were talking about that, how we're in an era of versatility in all sports, and the NFL is in there We could talk. We need a break, but it was making me think of a rant by my father, Steve Buchady, that Stan might get a kick out of.
Let's hear this rant after this commercial break on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Stan Weber. We got Jake Gutierrez running the show. And I want to mention that on Sunday, I'm going to be out at the Monarchs game. I'll be working be on the video board, working the game, working the stadium, Legends Field. And the first 1,000 dads that buy tickets for Sunday's game, get this, a Cool Papa t-shirt honoring Cool Papa Bell and the Kansas City Monarchs and honoring all the cool papas out there on Father's Day. So if you're looking for something to do with your family on Father's Day, come out to Legends Field, and the first 1,000 dads that buy a ticket to the game will get this Cool Papa Kansas City Monarch shirt. So you can celebrate Cool Papa Bell and celebrate the Cool Papa in your life. Looking for all the MVDs, most valuable dads. And kids 10 and under eat free. And after the game, you can go on the field and have a catch with your kid if you bring your mitt and your ball. So how cool would that be if you want to take your child out there and play catch on the field after the game? But most importantly, first 1,000 dads to buy a ticket get the Cool Papa shirt to celebrate the Kansas City Monarchs, Cool Papa Bell, and all the cool papas in your life. And so what's the rant, Nate Buchady, from your cool papa?
So back when I was a kid, it was kind of the era of specialization in the NFL, it seemed like, where, okay, this guy's in our passing package, and this guy's in our running package. We had the jumbo pack and all that. And it was like, you were a specialty guy. Your job was to either be I'm going to run it right up the middle.
So third down back.
Yeah, he's our third down back.
Todd McNair.
Yeah, and my
fifth
dad.
Fifth DB comes in on third down and passing downs only.
Yeah. And my dad used to rant, because he obviously loved the Hank Stram Kansas City Chiefs. And he's like, the thing that was so great about those Chiefs teams was you didn't know what they were going to do when they were on the field. All the guys on the field, they could play action pass, they could throw on you, they could run on you. You had to guard everything.
He loved Ed Podolak doing everything.
Yeah, they were multiple. They were versatile, and that made them unpredictable. And so he'd always complain about that. And when you're a kid, you think, dad, whatever. And now it's kind of interesting how the NFL is getting a lot more back to that, where they want guys that can do multiple jobs on the field because it makes you unpredictable. And isn't it kind of interesting that we're back to that more? And you're talking about, Chris Jones. Remember back in the day, there were defensive linemen that moved all over the line, and you weren't sure where they were going to line up. And like you said, linebackers now got to be able to play on multiple downs.
Well, a smart guy told me about how the game circles around, and there's only 11 players on each side, and that hasn't changed, so there's only so many combinations. One, Bill Snyder, when he got Michael Bishop in the shotgun and started running the ball at people, because Bill Snyder is a passing quarterback coach completely. Mm-hmm. They threw the ball to Iowa. They threw the ball when they got to K-State. But when Michael Bishop showed up in 97, they started running, and he goes, it's just a single wing. I mean, we've been doing this. When I was a kid, we knew all about this. Yeah. So here we go. It all circles around. When you got a limitation of how many players you have a limitation of what you can do. 11 on each side.
We've got Stan Weber in studio back after this on WHB. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. Hope everyone watching on TV has a great weekend. The show continues on Sports Radio 810. We've got Stan Weber for the rest of the 7 o'clock hour. Then we'll talk to Gary Lezak. Dennis Leonard will talk pitching with us at 8:30. Tim Grunhard will be in studio in the 9 o'clock hour. All that and more right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.